join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Faith Friends by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Well, this is part four of Faith Friends.
Is this the last one?
I believe. If you don't take all my time.
I don't take all your time.
Move over a little bit, if you would.
I don't think I can get any closer.
No, I want you to move over that way.
Oh, okay. You want me to sit on your lap?
No. We're not going to do all that.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
All right. This is not marriage enrichment. This is just Wednesday, regular Wednesday Bible study for the world.
All right. Did y'all get the subliminal message
faith,
in between the lines?
We're talking about faith friends.
Okay, I'm with
faith
you.
Faith friends.
I'm here.
Based upon Mark, the second chapter, verse 1 through 5. And it says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, or immediately, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And as they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born or carried afore, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. Wow. So then now they had to get him on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
They had him on a bed or a stretcher.
Mm-hmm.
And now they got to keep it even as they're coming through the roof. The man was at risk here.
He was, very much so.
They let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith,
wow,
he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. Based upon verse 5, through the woman with the issue of blood, mm-hmm, in Mark 5, that faith has to be demonstrated.
Right, right.
A lot of people say, I have faith. The Bible said our faith is in our heart and in our mouth. But let me add something. Faith can't just be in your head,
right,
and just be in your mouth. Now you got to demonstrate it.
Walk it out.
You got to walk it out. You have to put some corresponding action to your faith. So if you say, then I believe that God is going to give me a job, then you send the resume in, or you fill out the application, or you get online, whatever. You have to put some corresponding action to it, because the Bible says that Jesus saw their faith. You know, this is all. We also see that, I believe, in Genesis. I believe the 26th chapter. Is that right? Am I too far along in there? In Genesis, where God tells Abraham to go to and sacrifice. I believe it's Genesis 26. God tells Abraham to sacrifice his only son. And when he brings his son Isaac, lays him on the altar, and as he's getting ready to slay him, the Lord stops him and says, look at the ram in the bush. And he says, now I know that thou fearest me, seeing thou hast not withheld thy only son. So faith got to be seen. You can say, well, you say, well, I really believe in giving. Well, that's going to be seen by you giving.
Right.
I really believe in being faithful to my wife. Then that means you're going to demonstrate being faithful. I really believe that a man ought to provide for his children. Then what you believe has to be walked out. And because God sees what we believe by what we do. And in this case, he saw that these four faith friends, that's what we're calling them, faith friends. That's the subject of this teaching, faith friends. That he saw their faith to go through all the trouble of pushing through the crowd, climbing up on the roof, keeping their paralyzed friend some type of way straight on this stretcher, tearing up the roof, ripping a hole in the roof, letting their friend down through the hole without him falling, to get him in the presence of Jesus.
That is amazing.
That's a faith friend.
Yeah, that's.
And so we started giving characteristics of faith friends. Number one, we said a faith friend brings you closer to Jesus versus taking you further from Jesus. So we asked that during times of crisis, trouble, desperation, do you have friends who are going to bring you closer to Jesus? Secondly, we said a faith friend prays for you, he prays with you and prays for you, like Daniel did with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
And we also talked about stopping right then and there to pray with them.
Stop right then and there, not just talk religious.
Right.
I'll be praying for you.
Right.
Because the truth of the matter, sometimes we mean well, but we don't do well.
Yeah.
It's not that we were lying when we tell a person, yeah, I'll pray for you.
Yeah,
it's not you're lying. You forget. Mm-hmm. You get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in the forefront of your mind.
Right.
So the best thing to do to be a good faith friend, and when someone asks you to pray
right
for them,
there and then.
Just stop right there. Touch and agree with them and pray right there. We saw Esther had faith friends, and when she said, I'm going to go before the king, but my maidens, those are faith friends, I need you to fast with me. Peter and John had faith friends, and when they were threatened, they went back to the company in Acts 4, and the church, who was faith friend, prayed that they would be emboldened to keep preaching the word of God. So we asked a question under that, who can go to you when you are threatened by the enemy? Who can you go to, rather?
Mm-hmm.
When you were threatened by the enemy, like Peter and John were. Number three, we said faith friends believe that your situation can turn around. That's where we left off last week. A faith friend believes that your situation will turn around. These four men who carried their friend to Jesus and tore the roof up and let him down, they believed that it was worth the effort.
Right.
They believed that if they just got him to Jesus, things would turn around. Like the woman with who met Jesus at the well. He said, you need to come see a man who told me that she encouraged people to come to Jesus. What he did in my life, he can do in your life. I experienced the supernatural power of God when I was in his presence. You can experience the supernatural power of God also in his presence. So a faith friend believes that your situation can turn around. In the case of this paralyzed man who was carried by these four friends, there was no stem cell research. There was no state-of-the-art facilities. They didn't get him. They didn't get him to the Mayo Clinic in South Carolina. They didn't get him to the Medical University of South Carolina, the MUSC, which is in South Carolina, our best hospital. They didn't get him to, if you're in the Southeast here, they didn't get him to Duke. If you're in the Middle East, they didn't get him to the Cleveland Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
No, they didn't have any of that. Their best strategy of the day that could cause this man to have a supernatural turnaround was to get their friend in the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
They believe if we get him to Jesus, your situation can turn around, which means they still had a hope that his situation could turn around. And we use, for example, that we saw the centurion who believed that Jesus could turn around the situation for his servant. Amen. And then we said that number four, your faith friends won't allow you to give up. They tell you, Hebrews 10:35, don't you cast away your confidence. Has great recompense and reward. Hang in there.
Right.
Keep on believing God, whether it's for your marriage, for your children, for your finances, for your body.
Amen.
For a generational curse that has plagued your family, be that physical, be that emotional, be that spiritual. be that depression, you can break that curse.
Amen.
You can be the first one to go to college. You can be the first one to have a lasting marriage. You can be the first who sends your children to college. Come on. Whatever has not happened, come on, a faith friend, believe, you can be the first.
Amen. That's right.
And number five, we said a faith friend will inconvenience themselves based upon Proverbs 17:17, because a friend loveth at all times and a brother's bond for adversity. Then did we get to number six here? Number six.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, number six was that a faith friend helps you to fulfill God's vision for your life.
Right.
They're not just concerned about themselves and their needs. A faith friend helps you fulfill God's vision for your life. Mm-hmm. Not just their life. But they're also concerned about you being the best you can be. You fulfilling God's plan and God's purposes for your life. Just like all those people we saw in 1 Chronicles and who came to David to make him king. To make him king. And the Bible doesn't say they were jockeying for position.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, remember the woman, she comes to Jesus, she said, Lord, these are my two sons. Can you, when you come to your kingdom, can you put one on the left hand, one on the right? Can one be the vice president and the other one be the secretary of state?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they weren't jockeying for position. It was about them helping David to be who God wanted him to be, and which means they could not be jealous of him. And we ended by saying that last week, that a faith friend's not jealous of you. A faith friend is not petty. A faith friend will rejoice when you are promoted.
Right. They're not competitive. They're not what we call sisters, called frenemies. That's my frenemy. Now, you may not even say that outwardly, but in your head, you're like, you know, she's cool, but I know that she's kind of like trying to compete against me.
No sense me telling her that, because she ain't going to really rejoice with me.
Exactly. That's not someone that you're intimate with. You shouldn't be intimate with them. You shouldn't tell them your secrets. You should not even try to bring them along this faith journey with you. And if you're believing God for some things, they may not celebrate it. Or they may not be happy for you. And you talked about the story of a person that you thought was a friend.
Right.
But I guess we could place him in that category of a frenemy.
Mm. Yeah, wasn't really happy when I went to rejoice about what God had done for us and done for our church, right? You know, I thought about, you know, I think we got a wedding. We got a wedding this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we've done several weddings even in the midst of the pandemic. Okay, but you don't want to have a frenemy as your bridesmaid and maid of honor.
My goodness, no, you don't.
Okay, they're supposed to be happy for you, rejoicing. Tell me, I don't know why he married her. If I saw him first, or if he saw me first, maybe that'd be me at this altar. Come on, that's not a friend.
That's crazy. I'm so sorry.
That's not a friend.
No, it's not.
They're supposed to be rejoicing with you. Okay, you know. By the way, let me just. I'm going to put this out here just to help people.
Okay.
Okay. One of the things that the maid of honor does, it helped the bride.
Right.
Okay. We seen folks come up. They're going to let them just trip up here over their dress. Come on, maid of honor. Get there. Help them with the dress.
What happens is all the eyes, and they feel like they can't move.
They can't be concerned about the eyes on them. They're there for a purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're there to help.
Yeah. And when you have a friend who
lets you trip,
that's not a friend. She is having her day, or that's his day. Everyone else should rally around in a supportive role. So that day
rejoice
is
with them that
is
rejoice.
Sweatless, yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on. Number seven here, for as we get ready to close this series today about faith friends. A faith friend gives you words of encouragement. And then I'm going to balance that too. I'm going to blend that. A faith friend gives you words of encouragement. We were talking about this scripture a couple months ago, but Malachi 3. Don't worry. Come on, stay tuned. As soon as you hear Malachi 3, here we go about tithing. I ain't going to say nothing about the tithe. That's the early part of Malachi 3. I'm going to the first. We're going deeper down in there. Mm-hmm. But after he talks about the tithe, bring all the tithe to the store, have 10%. No. Down in verse 16, it says, Malachi 3:16, then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. They weren't gossiping.
Mm-mm.
They weren't talking about the people in the church.
Right.
They weren't talking about why the pastor building again. They weren't talking about every time I turn around, we got something else going on. Mm-hmm. They were encouraging one. Then they that feared the Lord spake one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. I'm going to come back to that. He hearkened and he heard it. Maybe you understand better if he heard it and then he hearkened it. I'll talk about that in a moment. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. This is saying that there was a group of people, because early he was talking about those who were priests and who were calling the Lord's table contemptible, who are basically saying, why are we serving God? Mm-hmm. And stuff isn't working, and I have received my manifestation, and it looks like the sinner is doing better than us. He says, and they weren't honoring him with their mouth. But then he says, but there were those who were doing that.
Right.
And they would get together. They would encourage each other. Listen, you keep on going. God's going to do that thing.
Right, right.
You know, when the Bible says two are better than one because they have a greater reward for their labor. Mm-hmm. And then it says if one is in a fight, he said, then the other one can help them. He said, and two in a bed, he says, better than one because it's hard to be warm with one by yourself. Singles don't read that scripture. Okay? But it's saying, but woe unto him who's alone when he falls.
Right.
He has nobody to pick him up. Okay? So a faith friend is there to pick you up. Mm-hmm. A faith friend is there to encourage you. You know, no, I know it hasn't manifested yet, but I still believe it's going to manifest.
Right, right, right.
And so I want you to see, God hears what we are saying among our friends.
Yes, he does.
That's
yes,
what I want does. You to see.
Yeah.
Because really the word hearken and heard, it's not just two ways of being poetic, saying the same thing. I often do that. When I want to speak poetically, I will speak of things in threes. You know, you need to go. You need to progress. You need to keep moving. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying the same thing. But this is not just two ways of saying the same thing. It's two different things. Hearken means to respond to. Mm-hmm. And heard means just to hear.
Right, right.
So God doesn't just only hear. God responds based upon what we're saying.
Right, right. And it's so powerful. And when you have a person of faith that you're in relationship with, y'all are friends, and you're having conversations about the Word of God and the things of God. I mean, the presence of God just comes right there, and as you're sharing, the Spirit of the Lord encourages you. And that's one of the things we experience on a regular basis. I try not to do it all the time. You know, on the prayer call in the morning, there's a post-conversation, and that we start talking about the things that we prayed about. And it stirs us up, man. It encourages us, and we're ironing and sharpening iron, and we're becoming encouraged in the things of God. And as we do so, we get so caught up because light starts happening and revelation starts happening, and understanding is imparted and clarity. And we hear back from people said, that just helped me. I now understand this, and you made it so clear. Mm. That's because God sits on the words of faith. And so sometimes he hearkens. And the thing, before we actually see, we see. Mm. By just having those conversations.
The Spirit of the Lord just said to me, sometimes we don't have manifestation because it's not because I prayed about that at church. I prayed about it on the prayer call. I made this confession at church. Sometimes it's not what we're saying among everybody else. It's what we're saying when we're around our so-called friends.
Right.
Ooh. It's the post-conversations.
That's good.
The unofficial conversations. To use a legal expression, it's those sidebar conversations.
Right.
We said this when we were before the Lord.
Right.
We said this in front of the church. We said this to the pastor. But what did you say in those informal conversations to nullify what you said officially?
Right, right, right. And all those conversations were either, they are revealing. Mm. It shows whether you really in faith.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Exactly, exactly. So when you make a decision, I think this also helps. Faith friends could be guardrails. Mm. You know,
they help you know what not to say. Come on now. We don't talk like that.
Right. Right. And it helps you stay focused, especially during this pandemic. You know, it's just, you know, so much news going on. You're hearing certain things and you can get so distracted and so heavy. But when you have faith friends, they keep you encouraged. So, you know what? It won't be like this always.
Amen.
That's one of the things we used to talk about years ago when we were struggling, you know, in Maine. And the lights were out, which means the heat was off. And not only that, we didn't have much food in the refrigerator. And we were kind of snuggled in bed. Well, you kind of snuggled up on me.
Whatever.
Because you couldn't keep...
That's
you
your story. You're going to stick to it.
You couldn't keep yourself off of me.
I couldn't. You couldn't keep off me either.
And you would say, it will not be like this always. You know, and those words weren't pie in the sky. They helped. Mm. They strengthened they encouraged.
I really believe that we were going through a wilderness season.
We were.
But I knew, God, we had a promise of a land that floweth with
Amen.
Milk and honey.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. And we're going to make it through this wilderness. And see, but people don't understand. When God took his people through the wilderness, he still promised provision in the wilderness.
Yes, he
they
did.
They just had to trust him for it every day.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay? He said, I'm going to give you quail. He gave him quail, that quail fall out. And he gave him manna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he had a fiery... They had a fiery cloud that led them by night, and they had a cloud that led them by day. But God said, "Listen, I want you to understand. I'm going to provide for you, but don't try to hoard up. Trust me every day." Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Let me stop here and say, somebody right now, which camera? Is that one facing? I want somebody to get close to me. I want you to understand. Right now, I agree. And I believe with you that God is sustaining you in the midst of your wilderness.
That's so good.
God's going to take you through. God's going to bring you out.
Amen.
God's turning that thing around. He said, I just need you to trust me in the wilderness.
Amen.
I will provide for you even in the wilderness. I'm your faith friend right now. We're being your faith friend, encouraging you, saying, listen, come on. I know it's day by day, but it's going to be there today.
Amen.
It'll be there tomorrow. It'll be there the next day. Amen. Come on. God just wants us to keep trusting him despite what things look like. So those who fear the Lord, they encourage each other in the midst of bad seasons and rough seasons and down seasons and seasons that didn't look like things were working. They encouraged each other, and the Lord hearkened unto them. That's Malachi 3:16. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. No, but Paul says, keep doing what you're doing. Keep comforting each other.
Yeah.
Keep edifying each other. Faith friends will comfort you and edify you in the midst of uncomfortable situations and in the midst of situations that look like it's tearing things down.
Wow.
The reason why I use those words, because he says comfort yourselves together. Comfort each other. And we can go through uncomfortable situations, but he said still encourage each other and comfort each other. And then he says edify one another. Edify means build up.
Right.
And
right.
It can be looking like right now the country is being torn down. Looks like the political turmoil is tearing things down. Social upheaval is tearing things down. But in the midst of things looking like they're being torn down, come on, we have to edify and build up each other.
Right.
And that's what a faith friend does.
Yeah,
for
and when you just said that, I think at this point in time, I think your faith friends should have been revealed.
Yeah, come on.
You know, because we are, as a country and as a people, we're going through stuff. And along this way, if you have not seen your faith friends in your friends, you may have to make some adjustments, because all of us at one point or time needed some comfort. And it shouldn't be the comfort like, girl, what's wrong with you? You know, don't you believe God? I believe God, but right now I just need some encouragement. And so at one point in time, we should have been in a situation, possibly if you're having a true relationship with your friends, that you are talking about real stuff and not just superficial stuff. That if you're talking about real stuff, you have moments when you encourage one another. You have moments when you embraced one another. You have moments when you just like, hey, it's going to be all right, or I understand what you are feeling. I've been through the same thing, and or I'm going through the same thing. Or this one thing I say all the time: I get it. I get it. I understand why you're feeling that way. What's happening? You're learning, or you're discovering. Okay, because sometimes you can feel like you're going like crazy. I know we're not supposed to say that word, or something's wrong with me, or why am I feeling this way? But when you understand, when you have a faith friend and they're with you in that pain, when they're empathetic, you know, you did a series, I Feel Your Pain. Mm-hmm. When you have people that, you know, feel your pain, see, I listen.
That's so nice. I'm encouraged to keep on preaching now.
I listen. But you are comforting each other. So hopefully at this point in time, you kind of see who my faith friends are, who my friends just are, and what people I need to bring into a faith relationship.
Know where to categorize people, especially when you're in crisis.
Yes.
You need to know who you can go into battle with.
Yes, sir.
You need to know who you can go into that dark room with. You know who's going to fight with you and who's going to flee, who's going to run. David said some people were too weak to fight. He said, okay, y'all just stay here by the stuff. We'll go fight. You need to know who to lead by the stuff and who take to the battle.
There you go. Who got your back?
Let's move on here. Because this next point, I think, is the final one regarding faith friends. Now, number seven, we said a faith friend gives you words of encouragement. But the eighth characteristic of faith friend is that a faith friend tells you the truth. I want you to understand that those are not mutually exclusive. It doesn't mean because I'm encouraging you, I can't tell you the truth.
Oh, wow.
Or because I'm telling you the truth, I'm causing you to be discouraged. Okay? Because faith friends many times have to take... Now, you mentioned something earlier. Okay? You have someone who's a faith friend, but all you're talking is doubt, fear, and unbelief.
Right, right.
Your faith friend needs to say, girl, listen, what you're talking right now is not faith.
That's so good.
That's telling you the truth.
Right.
Right now, okay. Job told his wife, he said, you speak like a foolish woman.
He was telling her the truth.
Telling her the truth. And sometimes we only want friends. Oh, this is so good. And I'm getting to this. We want friends and pastors who will be our cheerleaders.
You are awesome.
What kind of friends do you have? Are they friends who bring you closer to Jesus or take you farther away? We all need faith friends who will walk with us through life, the good times and bad. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey and Dr. Marcia Bailey take time to explain what faith friends look like and why we need them in our lives. To order this series, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rdci.info. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.